You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Asia and Cuba off its blacklist of countries failing to combat modern-day slavery. Today, they revealed their 2015 Trafficking in Persons report.
The traffickers often use violence to ensure that their profits continue and their crimes are concealed. And that is why this TIP report needs to be read as a call to action.
That was Secretary of State John Kerry. Four firefighters were burned yesterday while battling a Northern California wildfire that threatens 150 homes in the Sierra Nevada foothills. The four were injured as they fought the hot active northern end of the 2-square-mile blaze. Three have been released from the hospital. The other has serious but non-life-threatening injuries. An autopsy would be needed to evaluate what led to the death of Bobby Christina Brown, daughter of the late Whitney Houston. She was found unresponsive in a bathtub in January and died yesterday. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
The class of 2015 has been inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame.
On a sun-splashed Sunday in the home of baseball, Cooperstown, New York, the class of 2015 also shined. 3,000 hit member Craig Biggio, 300 game winner and 4,000 strikeout member Randy Johnson, starter turned reliever John Smoltz, and three-time Cy Young winner Pedro Martinez were all enshrined on baseball's hallowed stage. It's the first time three pitchers were inducted in one class, and Biggio played his entire career with one franchise, the Houston Astros. Mike Lindsley, Cooperstown.
North Korean officials are stepping up their anti-U.S. rhetoric as they mark 62 years since the agreement that brought the 3-year Korean War to an end. North Korean officials are warning the U.S. that another war on the Korean Peninsula would leave no Americans alive to sign a surrender document. Cities around North Korea are decked out with flags and banners, and North Koreans are flocking to patriotic gatherings and mass dance celebrations. Fiat Chrysler has settled with safety regulators over hundreds of thousands of Ram pickups and Jeep vehicles. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the owners of some 500,000 vehicles can trade them in or get money from Fiat Chrysler to have them repaired. The settlement also covers older Jeeps with fuel tanks located behind the rear axle. The fuel can rupture and spill gas in a collision. Stocks got off to a weak start on Wall Street this morning, continuing a recent stretch of losses. The Dow lost more than 100 points in opening minutes. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey. Well, welcome back to Hunterdon Chamber Radio. This is Chris Phelan with the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to kick off the Hunterdon Medical Show in just a few moments, but want to give you an update on the weather. Looks like our temperature is hovering around 84 degrees. Still calling for a chance of heavy rain this afternoon and scattered thunder showers and isolated showers throughout the evening. Looks like we're going to continue to see that thermometer go up over the next several days with the heat index going up and humidity going up. Going to crest at about 94 by Wednesday, 92 into Thursday, and then we get a little bit of a break as the next chance of showers into Thursday evening. Going to be sunny, it looks like, for the rest of the weekend, and temperatures coming down a little into the mid-80s and all that. So stay tuned throughout the course of the week, and we'll continue to give you updates on the weather. And again, you're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We'll be back in just a moment with Chris Phelan here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Hunterdon Medical Center Show. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone back here on this Monday, July 27th. The time is 3:06, and this is the Hunterdon Medical Center show. And filling in today for Larry Cartwright, just covered Larry's show as well, Mental Health Matters. And I want to welcome here to the studios at the Chamber's offices in the CenturyLink building, Margaret Doyle. And actually, welcome you. This is your first time here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Yes, it is. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you here. And we're going to talk a little bit about Margaret's organization. And she is the director of Hunterdon Hospice, and a little bit about hospice and some of the services and programs that hospice does provide. But Margaret, you were just sharing, you've had a long run with Hunterdon Medical Center. Maybe you can share a little bit with your listeners about your background, and congratulations as well as assuming the directorship this past January.
Well, thank you. I've been with the Hunterdon Healthcare System for about 21 years now.
Okay.
I started at what was then the Hunterdon Regional Cancer Program, which has now grown to become the Hunterdon Regional Cancer Center. And I was there for about 10 years in various roles before transitioning over to Hunterdon Hospice about 11 years ago.
Oh.
I started as a staff nurse, a field nurse.
Okay.
The nurses are called patient care managers because they oversee the care of the patient and coordinate all the services provided. And I did that for a number of years, and then along with that took on the role of the performance improvement coordinator. So looking at the services that we provide and the processes we use and how can we improve the care that we provide and continue to provide high quality care. And then in January, I became the director.
Okay. Now, you're in your role as director, I'm sure
yes.
that's much broader now in terms of responsibilities and the like.
Yes, it is. I oversee a phenomenal interdisciplinary team.
Okay.
And that interdisciplinary team works together to care for the patients and families we provide.
So it's not just nurses that are
involved.
No,
it's not just nurses. It's social workers.
Okay.
We have a chaplain, Chaplain Jim DeVries from Hunterdon Medical Center, phenomenal.
Okay.
Chaplain. We have Dr. Susan Bauman, who's our medical director. We have volunteers. We have over 150 volunteers
Wow.
who are specially trained in hospice care, working with the families in the homes and seeing patients in the nursing home, and working in the office, helping us in the office with the administrative types of things, filing,
Sure.
copying, things like that. And we work with Certified Home Health Aides, one of the organizations visiting Health and Supportive Services. We contract with them to provide the home health aides that are in the home. So it's a great team working together to provide care. And when somebody comes to hospice, it's not just the patient who is our quote-unquote patient. We also care for the family.
Right.
So we have a great team that really tries to collaborate with the family and helping to meet their needs.
Well, somebody may not be familiar with the term hospice, so maybe we could share with our listeners, what does hospice mean? And it is, as you shared, a breadth of different services and opportunities that are available to families and the individual patient as well.
Right. Well, I think one of the, I guess I'll start with a challenge that we face is sometimes the word hospice connotates negative things.
Okay.
Because people associate it with death and dying.
Sure, sure.
And really hospice care is about living.
Okay.
It's about living the end of someone's life, and that doesn't mean the last days, it can months, with quality.
Okay.
And the quality is defined by the patient and the family.
Okay.
So when somebody says, well, I want to be comfortable, we'll say, well, what does comfortable look like to you? What does that mean to you? Because what comfort means to one person might mean something else to somebody else.
Right.
And it certainly means something else coming from a clinical perspective as to what does comfort look like.
Right.
So we really try to engage the patient and family to identify what their goals are and to help them live out those days with each day being the best day that that day is going to be.
Okay. And hospice as a service that the hospitals had and other hospitals around the country, is this something that's fairly new, or has this been in practice for quite some time.
Well, the hospice movement came to America and started in Connecticut, actually.
Okay. What, where was it originally?
It actually grew out of the Yale New Haven, Yale's nursing school.
Did it start overseas, though, as a movement?
It started overseas in London, yes.
Oh, in London,
with,
okay.
With Dame Cecily Tyson. And so she was invited by the then director of the nursing program at Yale University to bring over what hospice care is. And the first hospice was started in Connecticut.
Okay.
We started here in Hunterdon County, I believe, in 1984 we were incorporated.
Okay.
So we've been serving the county
for
and the surrounding
years,
areas
sure.
since 1984 and have grown significantly
okay.
since that time. I think in the first couple years, I think I saw the stats. 1995, the average daily census was about 25.
Wow.
We're at about 50 now.
Okay.
You know, so.
And does an individual have to be or have a terminal illness to be a candidate for hospice?
Well, I think the term terminal illness often is associated with cancer.
Okay.
So what I'd like to broaden that definition a bit to
sure.
say when hospice is appropriate when someone has decided that further aggressive treatment for a serious illness is no longer warranted.
Okay.
You know, it's not going to be effective. It's not what the patient wants anymore. And so it can be when a cardiac patient has been found that the medications and frequent hospitalizations are really not going to result in quality of life and extended life.
Right.
Or for a patient with a COPD or emphysema, when that disease has really kind of reached a point where, you know, further aggressive treatment really isn't going to improve the quality of life or improve the outcomes for the patient. So, and for a cancer patient, when the patient, you know, when treatment's no longer appropriate or effective for that
right.
patient. And, you know, I talk about the patient, and it's a great time to have conversations with physicians and patients. The physician doesn't have to be the one to say, it's time for hospice.
Okay.
The patient can ask, when is it time for hospice? I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah, I guess that would beg the question then, how does either, you know, maybe the individual patient or family or support persons know when it's the right time, you know, to call for hospice? Because we were talking right before we went on the air, you know, that sometimes folks call and it's a little too late to benefit
right.
from all of the, you know, services that you do provide.
Right, right. When is the right time? I think when the right time is when the family member is talking about either, you know, you're seeing a lot more hospitalizations, you're seeing a decline in their ability to care for themselves, be independent, when they're starting to lose weight, things like that. And it's sometimes patients are not sure. Sometimes
right.
families are not sure. They can always call and ask about, you know, how things are going, ask for an evaluation. But we always encourage them to talk to the doctor about that because we do need to have an order from a physician to go into the home and
okay.
provide care. And we collaborate with the physician the whole time that the patient's on hospice so that that patient and physician are still connected in that
There's
way.
There's a continuum between the two.
Absolutely. And okay. the patient gets to choose who his or her physician is. So we're not
okay.
there to break up a relationship that a patient's had
sure.
with a physician that's really important to them.
Well, if you're just joining us here on this Monday, July 27th on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, the time is 3:14. Joined here in the studios with Margaret Doyle, who's the director of Hunterdon Hospice. And we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation. We're talking about hospice and some of those services that are available, not only here in Hunterdon County, but the surrounding communities that Hunterdon Medical Center serves. So stay tuned. This is Chris Phelan with the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, filling in today on the Hunterdon Medical Center show for Larry Cartwright, and we'll be back in just a moment.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County, the 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Well, welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center Show. It is 3:18 on this Monday, July 27th. This is Chris Phelan filling in for Larry Cartwright once again, but want to welcome back here into the studios at the CenturyLink building, Margaret Doyle, who is the director of Hunterdon Hospice. And we've been talking about the hospice and the many different programs and services that are available to patients here in Hunterdon County. We were talking a little bit about like when the right time was for that family to, make that kind of informed decision on the type of services that they need. But will a doctor let the patient know when they should seek, from the care from hospice? Is that something that's now pretty routine for the family doctor or specialist, or?
I think the physicians are becoming more comfortable talking to the patients about hospice care. I think there's some thought that sometimes physicians feel bad about referring to hospice because it's the last ditch, it's the last thing. Where I'd really like to see that change and say, hospice is really an option.
Okay.
It's really a great option for patients and families when, again, treatment is really no longer appropriate. Aggressive treatment isn't going to result in a better outcome. And it's not going to result in more time at home or things like that. So it's a great option for patients and families. And physicians are more in tune with even calling the office to say, I'd like to refer a patient. I'm not sure. Can you evaluate? And that's a great opportunity for us to not only engage with the patient and family, but to engage with the physician. Hunterdon Medical Center in March of 2015, just this past March, we had an end-of-life summit. It was a real great opportunity for physicians. Two physicians and a board member funded having Dr. Stephen Pantelot from UCSF come out and talk about end-of-life and palliative care. And they started with evening sessions, having a dinner roundtable with various physicians, the next day having grand rounds where they had over 100 physicians attend grand rounds, and then more breakout sessions with family practice physicians, the hospitalists.
Oh, wow.
And what was so exciting to be a part of that was to hear physicians talk about, well, I don't know, you know, what to say. How do I have these conversations? And what it's done is we now have a small end-of-life team that the palliative care is involved in, hospice is involved in, various physicians from the practices are involved in. And what we're doing is creating a toolbox, if you will, of resources for all physicians to have at their fingertips to either be able to initiate the conversation, maybe they don't know what to say, how to say it, to have what are the guidelines, you know, what makes somebody appropriate for hospice, when do I refer to hospice, or, you know, is a referral to palliative care more appropriate? And so we're really trying to engage the physicians and educate them, and they're really open to that education. So that's really been a great opportunity and a great thing. And I think one of the unique things about Hunterdon that they have this core, you know, group of physicians who serve
all
the community.
Sure, the
they're
network,
integrated,
sure.
And they you know, have relationships with their patients, and they want to improve them.
Right. That's great. In terms of the evaluation, maybe we could share a little bit with listeners. So, you know, if they haven't gone through this process, they get a little bit more comfortable with understanding how that evaluation process works and what are some of the steps and things that are covered during that evaluation.
Well, to start with, Medicare fully funds hospice care.
Okay.
So if a patient is a Medicare eligible patient, all of the services provided by hospice are fully covered by Medicare. They don't get a bill.
Okay.
And so Medicare has guidelines, though, as to when a patient is appropriate for hospice based on their disease. They have guidelines for Alzheimer's disease, cardiac disease, pulmonary disease, cancer, and other guidelines for some of the other various diseases, ALS.
Okay.
And so either the physician will identify that a patient is, you know, appropriate based on those guidelines, or if the physician's not sure, a nurse from our organization will go out and do just a physical assessment of the patient, take a history from the family member or their patient, gather information from the physician that he or she has shared with us regarding the medical history of the patient. And if they're meeting the guidelines and the family's interested and the physician's in agreement, then we can admit that patient to hospice services. If we're not sure if the criteria are met, what we do is, as a team, an interdisciplinary team, we meet weekly.
Okay.
And we discuss our patients who are currently on service and the new patients who've come on service so that we're all aware of the patients we're serving. But then that's an opportunity for us to bring these patients who we're not quite sure if they're appropriate yet and have the input of the medical director, the chaplain, and the social worker, et cetera, and the other clinical staff.
Wow.
And so if the patient's, you know, deemed appropriate at that point, then, you know, we'll contact the physician and facilitate admission. If not, we'll contact the physician and follow up with the family, and they can call us again, and we can go out and reevaluate again. There's no cost to the patient or family for an evaluation visit, nor does it interfere with any other services that they're receiving. So if somebody's in a nursing home getting subacute rehab, for us to come in and evaluate the patient doesn't cost anything, nor does it interfere with those services. So, you know, an evaluation is really kind of easy. And sometimes people just want an information visit. Can you come and tell me what it's about?
What it's about,
And we're happy to do that.
Do you provide any of those, like, information sessions throughout the year that folks can just come and hear a little bit more and become educated?
We do go out to the community and provide little education sessions. We go out to physicians' offices to educate their staff. So we do have opportunities. When there are community days, we'll always have a table to provide any kind of information about hospice services. So, yes.
How about in terms of, you had mentioned earlier about the not only treating like the physical symptoms of somebody's in hospice, but about that emotional dimension, both for, you know, the patient and the
and
support
the
and the family that is there as well.
Hospice care really encompasses the whole of the individual and family. It's really holistic in that it looks at not only the physical, but it looks at the psychosocial, emotional components, as well as the spiritual components of what that person and family may be experiencing at end of life. And so, for example, sometimes pain is not just physical pain. Sometimes there's an emotional pain associated with it. Maybe there's been a break in a relationship that somebody hasn't had the opportunity to resolve. Sometimes it's perhaps a younger mother leaving behind children. That's a real emotional pain. And so we really try to look at all the aspects of care. As far as spiritual support, if somebody, it's not uncommon for, say, a parent to come into their child's home so that maybe that parent is not originally from this area and doesn't have their his or her spiritual support in the area. And so our goal would be, if that's something that's wanted, we would help to find those resources for them, or our chaplain would provide them if that's what they would like. So it's not just looking at, you know, pain or respiratory distress. The other thing is that hospice provides bereavement support for the family for a full year after someone has died.
Okay.
Yes. So, and we do that in varied ways. We have mailings that come out to people's homes. I love the mailings. They come out once a month. And the great thing is that it's kind of a personal thing. So you can decide to read it or not.
Okay.
If you read it and you like it, you can keep it. If not, you might know somebody else who would like it.
Right.
We have support groups. In the evening, we have four different support groups. We have two adult loss support groups, and then we have two support groups for those who've lost a child. And we also have a youth art support group, and that's kind of unique to us. It's I believe it's about a 12-week program, and it's for children from the ages of, say, kindergarten through high school.
Okay.
And they're broken into age-appropriate groups. And it's a time where they come in related to a grief. They don't have to have been on hospice. Their family member doesn't have to have been on hospice to be able to participate in any of the bereavement support groups that we have. But especially for the Youth Art Bereavement Support Group. But they can come in, and there are each week focuses on a different project. And that project's goal is to help them identify perhaps the grief that they're experiencing. So the goal of the program is to teach these children skills to deal with their grief as they're going on. But at the same time, it provides support to the parents in how to help their kids and to help the parents in with their own grief, with whatever the death has been.
That's really a combination of,
of
again, like you use those words, holistic for the family to, you know, recover and move forward. Yeah. Well, if you're just joining us here on 100 in Chamber Radio, it is 3:28. We are joined here by Margaret Doyle, who's the director of 100 in Hospice. This is Chris Phelan with the 100 in County Chamber of Commerce, and filling in today for Larry Cartwright here on the 100 in Medical Center Show. We're talking about hospice here at 100 in Healthcare and the various programs and services that are available to both families and patients who may be seeking this and or maybe just want to become a little more educated. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue that conversation and hear a little bit more and how you can go ahead and also get in touch with Margaret and the entire program here at 100 in Hospice, get some more information as well. So stay tuned. You're listening to 100inchamberradio.com.
The 100 in County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present 100inchamberradio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of 100 in County, New Jersey.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Two 14-year-old boys are still missing. They were fishing off the coast of Florida Friday and believed to be heading toward the Bahamas. Their capsized boat has been recovered undamaged. Coast Guard Petty Officer Steve Lehman says the boys were experienced boaters.
These weren't your typical 14-year-olds. They did have experience out in the water dealing with boats and getting underway and stuff like that. And, you know, things befall even the most sure-footed of mariners.
The boys have been identified as Perry Cohen and Austin Stefanos. President Obama is in Africa urging Ethiopia's leaders to curb crackdowns on press freedom and political openness. Obama is the first U.S. president to visit the East African country. The leaders are also discussing the crisis in South Sudan.
They have shown extraordinary leadership in trying to address the continuing situation.
Obama also spoke about the Iran nuclear deal while in Africa and defended it. This is USA Headline News.
No student's ever been king of the classroom on day one, but with the right gear from Office Depot Office Max, like a new JanSport backpack, a Dell 2-in-1 laptop, and Stellar notebooks, your kid'll be walking with varsity-level swagger. That's that new gear feeling. Shop with our experts to get great savings on a wide selection of school gear. And right now, buy one, get one 50% off on all HP Inc. Office Depot Office Max. Gear up for school. Gear up for great. Limit 2. Multi-packs counters 1, ends 8-1.
At Sam's Club, you get incredible savings every time you shop. And summer savings just got a little sweeter. Stop by your local Sam's Club and pick up limited time offers, like 3 pounds of red grapes for $4.98. That's just $1.66 per pound. And 6 packs of Sabra hummus and pretzel cups for $9.98. Keep tonight's dinner simple with a freshly prepared chicken parmesan and pasta dinner. Serves 4 for just $5.18 a pound. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better in the club. See club for details.
The State Department has taken Malaysia and Cuba off its blacklist of countries failing to combat modern-day slavery. Today, the State Department revealed their 2015 Trafficking in Persons report. Secretary of State John Kerry says there is no time for complacency in the fight against human trafficking.
It's a fight we absolutely have to win. It is a modern-day human rights challenge of enormous proportions.
7 former U.S. diplomats and State Department officials are urging leaders of Congress to support the nuclear deal with Iran. In a letter released today, the diplomats and officials say the risks for the United States and Israel will be much higher without the agreement in place. Congress has 60 days to review the agreement. It can approve, reject, or take no action. Meanwhile, Iran's supreme leader has been tweeting graphic pictures. One on Saturday shows President Obama holding a gun to his head. It comes as Obama tries to convince Congress that the nuclear deal is in the best interests of the U.S. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Republicans say they are not worried about Donald Trump in the GOP presidential race. AP correspondent Rita Foley reports.
But what if Donald Trump decides to run as an independent?
I don't see that happening.
Republican Party Chairman Reince Priebus tells the Today Show.
I think you've even seen Donald Trump walk that back over the last few days as well.
He says everybody knows how this works.
If Hillary Clinton's going to get beat, she's going to get beat by a Republican.
But Trump is on top of many polls.
He's speaking out to people that are really frustrated with Washington, frustrated, I think, in many cases with both parties.
I'm Rita Foley.
Jurors deciding whether Colorado theater shooter James Holmes should be sentenced to death or life in prison are being questioned about whether the deadly theater shooting last week in Louisiana might influence them. Today, the judge polled jurors about whether they had seen or read anything about the shooting that killed 2 and wounded 9 others. 12 jurors raised their hands. The defense is concerned some jurors might want to punish Holmes for possibly inspiring a copycat shooting. Officials in Turkey say the number of suspects detained in a major anti-war operation launched 3 days ago has exceeded 1,000. Since Friday, Turkey has been carrying out airstrikes against ISIS targets in Syria and Kurdish rebel positions in northern Iraq. It has simultaneously launched a police sweep against people suspected of links to the Islamic State group. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Well, Well, welcome back to 100 in Chamber Radio. The time is 3:35. This is Chris Phelan, and we're coming to you live on this Monday, July 27th, here at the 100 in County Chamber of Commerce in the CenturyLink building, covering the 100 in Medical Show today. Larry Cartwright, our usual host, is out, and going to give you a quick update real quick on the weather. It looks like our temperature continues to climb slightly, 86 degrees. We've got a chance of rain and isolated thundershowers throughout the evening. Tomorrow is going to be sunny along with Wednesday. Temperatures creeping up into the mid-90s. Thursday continues with that little bit of a heat stretch and get a little break into the evening with the chance of isolated, again, thundershowers. Looks like Friday's going to come down into the 80s. The humidity kind of dissipates, but it's going to be a warm week. So I'd like to welcome back here in these cool studios. We've got the air on here at 100 in Chamber Radio, Margaret Doyle, and she is the director of 100 in Hospice here. We've been talking about all the programs that and services that 100 in Hospice offers for the community here in 100 in County and some of our even neighboring counties right adjacent to 100 in. So if folks are just joining us again, this is the 100 in Medical Center show, and we were just talking a little bit about some of those services for the family directly, you know, especially that emotional support system there as well. Maybe, Margaret, we could talk a little bit about the nurses and nurses' aides. And they actually make then the home visits in the hospice program and what they actually, you know, will do.
Okay. Why don't I start from the beginning?
Sure.
So when someone chooses to be admitted to hospice,
okay,
we primarily provide the care in that patient's home. Now, okay, the home can be a nursing home. It can be an assisted living, like Independence Manor here in Flemington. It can be either a child, son or daughter's home, or their own personal home.
Okay.
And generally, a nurse and social worker go out together as a team and work with that initial meeting to go over the benefit, the Medicare benefit, if eligible, or talk about what their insurance allows for hospice services, if it's a private insurance. And we talk about the services that we provide, and we get a history and get to know about that patient and that family. One of the things that you really need to remember is that there's a story here, and that story is really important. And sometimes when we meet the patient isn't able to tell us about him or her, or tell us what's important, and we rely on the family members to do that. And in that initial meeting, that's an opportunity for us to really kind of lay the groundwork for what we're going to be doing as we go on. So as a social worker gets to know more about that family member and extended family members, et cetera, and the things that are important, the nurse is also looking at the physical, looking at the medications that the patient's currently on, getting an assessment of the patient. And then together, we try to create a plan of care. If the patient's able to speak, involving that patient and the family member to say, okay, so what's important? What do we need to do? And we try to create a plan of care. During that conversation, the nurse will generally determine how frequently she needs to visit. And so she may need to visit either once or twice a week. She might need to visit more frequently if we're really trying to get to manage some pain or there's a symptom that we really need to manage, she might visit more frequently that first week. And then as things get better under control, cut back her visits. And then the social worker will set up her visits. She'll go to the home and visit as well to support either the patient or the family. And at that visit, that's when it's determined, okay, do we want to bring home health aides in? We try to bring a home health aide in to meet the needs of that patient. Unfortunately, everybody seems to like 8 to 10 in the morning. It's hard to get a lot of people working at 8 to 10 in the morning. But we do try to work with the family to say, okay, what would work? And then volunteers. We have volunteers who bring so many gifts and talents to our organization. And we'd be nowhere without our volunteers, I really have to say. They are phenomenal.
Okay. You mentioned earlier, 150?
About 150, 160 active volunteers. And they do different things.
Okay.
And so anybody who volunteers for 100 in Hospice goes through an 18-hour orientation.
Okay.
Specifically for hospice.
Okay.
And they're kind of educated regarding the philosophy of hospice, educated regarding communication skills, listening skills, Dr. Bauman is involved in educating about symptom management and how we manage symptoms. Jim DeVries is involved in regarding the spiritual aspects of hospice care. So we can offer volunteers. Sometimes a volunteer is going to come in and visit with the patient. So we try to connect in that history gathering that the social worker is doing. Do we find somebody who has a connection, who might have a connection with that patient in some way, maybe a shared interest? Sometimes a volunteer, if the patient's really not interactive, a volunteer can just be present in the home if the family member wants to run an errand or go to the gym, and they can just be present.
Okay.
Sometimes we have volunteers who come out and mow the lawn. We have volunteers who will make deliveries for us. If somebody's run out of, diapers or so, we'll have a delivery of diapers made or a delivery of a medication made. So our volunteers are varied and can do. We have massage therapists.
Oh, wow.
Who come out and do massage therapy. Okay. We have pet therapy. So we have volunteers who bring out specially trained pets, you know, and bring them to the home and bring pet therapy.
Okay.
So they're varied. And so at that initial meeting, that's when we try to determine that. Sometimes it's really overwhelming because it's kind of overwhelming to suddenly have, not only do you have strangers now coming to visit you regularly, sometimes your house has now been overtaken with a hospital bed and oxygen, and that can be overwhelming and a little scary. So we don't have to do everything at once.
Okay.
You know, and that's part of that, again, that initial conversation. And that initial visit. It's a little long, that visit. It might take 2 hours to kind of go through things and set up things. But it's really the beginning of establishing a working relationship.
Now, does the nurse then interface back with the primary doctor?
Yes, she does. So after the visit, the nurse is contacting the physician to do what we call medication reconciliation. You know, these are the medications that we found in the home. Are these ones that you want to continue, et cetera? We always send a copy of the plan of care to the physician to indicate, how many volunteers do we have going in, home health aides, that type of thing. How often do we plan on going? And if we change our visit frequency, we send that information to the physician as well.
Okay.
So aside from, you know, the primary nurse who might visit a couple times a week, you know, once a week, twice a week, whatever that need is, we also have nurses who are on call for all those off hours.
Okay.
So while we're not in the home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay. And so there's a number that they would call the families, and they're given that number right away, and they get our answering service. And it's not a punch, you know, if you want this, press one. They actually get a person.
Okay.
And they give the information to the person. That person will call the on-call nurse on call.
Okay.
And the on-call nurse, because we meet as a team, because we discuss our patients, the nurses give an updated report to that on-call nurse every night.
Okay.
So that the on-call nurse will call, and if a visit's needed, she'll come out no matter the time of day. So they're available weekends, holidays, in the middle of the night. And if the primary nurse was there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's 8 o'clock and there's a problem, the on-call nurse can go back at 8 o'clock. There's not a problem with that. And if 2 hours later there's still a problem and she needs to go back, she will go back.
Okay.
So a lot of times, you know, calls will come in and it's a family member just with a question. Can I do this?
Right.
And they just need some reassurance.
Sure.
And that's fine. But if a visit's needed, a visit will be made.
And then how about the doctor at that point? Is the doctor ever go on call, or is the patient?
The physician, really, the hospice nursing staff or hospice staff become the conduit with the physician.
With the doctor.
There are some physicians who make home visits, and they'll continue to make home visits while somebody's on hospice. A lot of times what we'll try to do is coordinate our visits.
Sure.
So it's a great opportunity for the physician to get to know the primary nurse.
Right.
But it's also a time that we can both kind of get the plan in place and say, okay, do you want these meds? You know, do our medication reconciliation face-to-face, get any prescriptions we need to get filled for the family.
Sure.
So we try to be efficient. But so there are some physicians who make home visits. If patients are able to get out of the house and go to see the physician who's following them for hospice, they can do that.
Okay.
They can still do that.
Gotcha. Well, we're having a great conversation here on a tough topic, hospice, but some great resources that are here for both the patient and the family here in Hunterdon County. So we are speaking with Margaret Doyle, who's the director of Hunterdon Hospice here at Hunterdon Healthcare. And we're going to come back in just a few moments and continue our conversation. This is Chris Phelan filling in for Larry Cartwright, who is our regular host here for 100 in Medical Center, which airs every Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock here on 100 in Chamber Radio. So we'll be back in just a moment.
The 100 in County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present 100inchamberradio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of 100 in County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on 100chamberradio.com. Like what you hear on 100 Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100 Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100inchamberradio.com app today.
The 100 in County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present 100inchamberradio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of 100 in County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The 100 in Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
100 in Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, welcome back to the 100 in Medical Center show. This is Chris Phelan covering things for Larry Cartwright on this Monday, July 27th at 3:48. And again, you want to stay tuned throughout the rest of the afternoon here on 100 in Chamber Radio. We're going to have at 4 o'clock Hot in 100 in, sponsored by Norwestcap. And then at 5 p.m., we've got the Ruth Ann Celebration Hour. And again, a great week of continued lineup. You can come back first thing tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And Big C will be with us once again for 2 hours of Good Morning Hunterdon. Want to welcome back into the studios here, Margaret Doyle. She's the director of Hunterdon Hospice. We've been talking about all the services and programs and opportunities that folks can avail themselves of if they are in need of that or want to learn some more, information. But let's share, Margaret, how folks can get in touch, especially they may be interested. We were talking before the break about volunteering. Mm-hmm. And, once they've gone through this orientation program, is there a certain level or expectation of how many hours somebody would volunteer? Or is it all on a case-by-case individual basis?
It's all on a case-by-case individual basis.
Okay.
And so it depends on what that person has available.
Sure.
We have people who work full-time, so maybe they can only give a couple hours on a weekend.
Okay.
Some people just do specific projects.
Okay.
For example, when we do our large mailings, they'll come in and work on our mailings. There's some volunteers coordinate a gift wrap fundraiser, at Bridgewater Mall. Some people just do the gift wrap fundraiser. So we really have opportunities for everybody to do something.
Sure.
And Erin Nakahara is our volunteer coordinator.
Okay.
And if you call our main number, which is 908-788-6600, you can ask for Erin and leave a voicemail if she's not there. And she'd be happy to talk to you about some of the opportunities. We are in the final process of arranging for our next training program, which we hope to have in the fall.
Okay. And I know we pulled it up very quickly. You can Google it. You can go to the 100 Chamber website and look up 100 Healthcare as well under our member directory, or just go to 100healthcare.org/hospice. And you've got lots of information up on that page about all the different topics that we covered here today. But let's talk about it. I guess it's a fairly new initiative that you're working now with veterans.
Yes.
Regarding hospice. Let's share a little bit about that program.
That initiative actually is kind of grown out of the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, and it's an initiative to really educate hospice professionals in the specialized care of the veteran. And so there are education programs that we attend, as well as that we educate our staff regarding, you know, the needs of the veterans, and every veterans group, Korean War veterans, Vietnam veterans, each group has its own personality and needs. And so really to educate individuals regarding, you know, those needs. One of the things, too, is that veterans, we're finding, are not connected to the Veterans Administration. They may be eligible for added services.
Okay.
And so we've been really trying to connect veterans to the services to which they may be entitled. It's a process that they have to go through, absolutely. But they may be entitled to extra home health aid hours provided by the Veterans Administration.
Okay.
So, you know, that to supplement the home health aids that we provide in hospice can really make a big difference in a family's life. There's also an inpatient hospice unit for veterans, and it's in the out in Bedminster, I believe.
Oh, the Lions VA Hospital.
The Lions VA Hospital.
Sure.
And so, you know, if they need that service, we can help them access that service.
Okay.
So, but it's a great initiative. In fact, BJ Jacobson, who spearheads our group, she's our clinical coordinator, but she spearheads the group for 100 in Hospice. She, along with our social worker at the time, Gabby Dudbridge, and volunteer coordinator, collaborated with 100 in Medical Center so that now, on admission, every person is asked, are you a veteran? Are you connected to veteran services? To help all Huntington County residents, really, you know, if they're eligible for services, to be able to access those services. So that's been, that project, I think, started in January.
Oh, that's great.
So it was
a great
thing. Yeah, yeah.
And in terms of, you know, again, somebody that, you know, wants to learn a little bit more, get a little more educated about the process around that. I mean, obviously, we've given out the website, but let's give out the phone number again, because you had mentioned you're going to be doing some information sessions, you know, in the fall, and we'll be happy to, you know, promote those here at 100 in Chamber Radio, by all means.
And any group, any church group, we are happy to go out to them. If you have a church group, women's club,
do a presentation,
we'd be happy to do a presentation. So you can call 908-788-6600. You can ask for me, Margaret Doyle, and I'd be happy to talk to you and arrange our coming out to meet any group. You know, we can do days, we can do evenings, we've done weekends, we've gone to churches and talked at after services, and so we really have a talented team who'd be happy to talk to anybody. I think the thing about hospice is everybody thinks it's so sad.
Right.
And what I experience and what my team experience is that we're really passionate about what we do. We love what we do. And there is joy. There is joy in it. And so we really want to be able to share that with people and make it seem a little less scary. It's still going to be scary.
No doubt. And I guess it would be even more scary, and we didn't cover this, but if the individual is, you know, the patient is here in Hunterdon, but their family may be out of state.
Right.
I'm sure
right.
that's something you deal with as well.
Yeah, it is something we deal with. It's not an uncommon situation.
It's not, okay.
No, it's not uncommon. And, you know, our social workers are really talented in helping to have families either, you know, bridge those relationships.
Okay.
Maybe they're at a distance for a reason.
Right.
Maybe they're at a distance and, you know, we can encourage family members to talk on the phone. If somebody can't hear, you know, respond, they can still hear you.
Okay.
And have helped facilitate even just those last conversations by holding up a phone.
Wow.
So, you know, we're able to update family members as they need. It's not uncommon for somebody to be in a nursing home and have a family member at a distance.
Right.
So we actually can act as a connector.
That's where those volunteers, I'm sure, play an extra critical role.
They're wonderful. And we also have a group of volunteers who are specially trained in vigil. And so as somebody may be actively dying so that somebody doesn't have to die alone, we have volunteers who will come and just be a presence.
Sure.
You know, just kind of sit there and be a presence. Or if a family member's there and really frightened, they can sit with that family member.
Family member, wow.
And just kind of be a presence, be a support.
Wow. And then you mentioned again, you know, earlier in the show about when that does happen, the resources that are there for the bereavement mm-hmm. and
yes.
go well beyond, you know, you said a year
yes.
worth of
a year's
services.
Worth. Yes.
So that's incredible. Well, let's share again, Margaret, you know, ways in which that folks can get in touch with you. And again, I'll plug the website, which is huntertonhealthcare.org/hospice. And I'm looking at the site right here. You can see a wealth of information about the services that are there for the patients, even how to find a physician, and mm-hmm. a lot of different information there that you can find online, along with, I see, two videos that you
yes.
have up there as well that I'm sure give great testimonials to
yes.
the services that you provide.
Yes, and there on the website, there's a link so somebody can email us.
Okay.
And it'll actually come to me, or they can call 908-788-6600. And if they call after 4:30 in the afternoon, they'll get our on-call nurse.
Okay.
And she'd be happy to answer questions or field questions for them.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you again for taking the time to be here with us on Huntington Chamber Radio. And thank you for all that you do, you know, for providing this needed service for loved ones and families here in Huntington County. And kudos to your entire team of both staff and volunteers, because it really is, you know, when you look at how many organizations in our county and the hospital, one of many that rely on our volunteers to do so much,
mm-hmm.
Really they are the unsung heroes out there that, you know, yeah. continue to make Huntington such a great county.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Margaret.
I appreciate it.
Well, you've been listening to the Huntington Medical Center Show, which is here every Monday afternoon on Huntington Chamber Radio. You can actually go to our archives at huntertonchamberradio.org and grab any one of those shows. Larry Cartwright, our regular host, will be back with folks next Monday here on Huntington Chamber Radio. This has been Chris Phelan just filling in on this Monday. Again, we've had a great show with Margaret Doyle, the director of Huntington Hospice, and encourage you to reach out and get involved. And if you don't even need their direct services, you can always also support Huntington Hospice.
Absolutely.
And
please.
A great opportunity to make a donation and make a difference in someone's life as well. So stay tuned. We're going to have a few words from our sponsors, the news from IRN, and then we'll be back with Hot in Huntington here on Huntington Chamber Radio.
The Huntington County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Huntington County, New Jersey.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, Financial Advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Two 14-year-old boys are still missing. They were fishing off the coast of Florida Friday and believed to be heading toward the Bahamas. Their capsized boat has been recovered undamaged. Coast Guard Petty Officer Steve Lehman says the boys were experienced boaters.
These weren't your typical 14-year-olds. They did have experience out in the water dealing with boats and getting underway and stuff like that. And, you know, things befall even the most sure-footed of mariners.
The boys have been identified as Perry Cohen and Austin Stephanos. President Obama is in Africa urging Ethiopia's leaders to curb crackdowns on press freedom and political openness. Obama is the first U.S. president to visit the East African country. The leaders are also discussing the crisis in South Sudan.
They have shown extraordinary leadership in trying to address the continuing situation.
Obama also spoke about the Iran nuclear deal while in Africa and defended it. This is USA Headline News.
No student's ever been king of the classroom on day one, but with the right gear from Office Depot Office Max, like a new JanSport backpack, a Dell 2-in-1 laptop, and Stellar notebooks, your kid'll be walking with varsity-level swagger. That's that new gear.